Nathan Liel. Nathan Liel is probably one of the foremost experts on interpreting, analyzing, investigating the Illuminati symbolism, the communication, the overt and covert communication. And we've seen a lot of analyses, plural, of analysis, of Super Bowl 49 of late. But one thing, you know, what we haven't seen is the context of Super Bowl 49. There's a context, and it's in the context of the continuing course of overt, covert, subliminal, even, communication from the Illuminati to other Illuminists, and also serving as a warning to the unwashed. It's a multi-level, multi-purpose kind of venue. And when you've got 115 million people glued to their television sets, that's a heck of a venue, is it not, to convey a certain message, whether it's subliminal, overt, covert. Well, Nathan's here to tell us about his findings, his analysis. And I'll tell you one thing, having talked to Nathan earlier, he's right on the money, and the message, his analysis about this is, in my view, beyond any... you won't find this on the Internet, okay? You will not find this on any other website on the Internet. His is the gold standard. His website is WatchmansCry.com. It's linked off of HagmanandHagman.com. And with that, Nathan, God bless you, my friend. Welcome to tonight's program.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me on. And sorry I was running a little bit late, but even as you speak, as you were talking, I'm still uploading images, and I'm going to have a lot more after the program's over. So, listeners, I'm going to supply my page of notes, as has become the tradition here. I love doing that, Doug and Joe. But I'm going to have to provide a lot more after the show's over, because I'm probably going to have 20 to 30, but maybe even up to 50 more images that are going to break this thing down to reveal what took place a few days ago.
Oh, okay. That's a lot of work, and I know the amount of work that you put into this, and it certainly shows, and it's spirit-led, it's God-led, and, you know, folks, prior to the show, I was talking to Nathan, and we were just talking about what the message was, and the theme, the continuation, and he said one sentence, and I'll just say the sentence, and Nathan, I'm not giving anything away, I'll just tell you, he said, war is coming, and the world will burn, war is coming, and the world will burn. Now, hopefully I didn't speak out of school.
No, that's fine. I appreciate that.
That's vague enough, I think, or at least, you know, and as you explained things to me, I looked at it and I thought, man, oh man, you know, you're 100% right. So take us wherever you want to go at this point. And, just fire away, sir.
All right. Okay. The thing for, by the way, listeners, I want to encourage you to share this program with everybody that you know, to spread the word about Hagman and Hagman, because he's providing a great service for the remnant in time, children of God who are waking up, and things like this do help people to wake up. Because, you know, Doug, before I get started with breaking everything down, there's one thing. You know, the biggest hurdle, and I don't say this lightly, it is literally the biggest hurdle for human beings to get past is their way of thinking. Because, and there's a fancy word that the psychologists have come up with, and people have probably heard the word, but they've never really understood what it means. Or maybe they understand part of it, but they've never really broken it down. But this word describes exactly what people struggle with when they come to your program and listen. And this word describes, or this phrase, describes why so many people struggle with the process of waking up, and it's because it's a painful process. And that term is called cognitive dissonance. And Doug, I know you've mentioned it a lot. Some of your guests have mentioned it, but I just want to start out by saying this. And listeners, if you've always wondered, well, what does that mean? Let me just give a quick synopsis of what it is, because as we go into tonight's program, some people are going to struggle, Doug, with what I'm going to share, and that's normal. It's a normal waking up process. But what cognitive dissonance means is, it's two words. Cognitive is your thinking. Dissonance means irregularity or inconsistency. So cognitive dissonance is a bomb just waiting to explode right now to keep the people asleep. But when it does explode on those that are waking up, it works great things in the lives of people, because even when a person comes to God, they have to change the way that they think. So, well, what does that mean? This is what it means. And this is what I'm going to do, Doug, and this is what we do. We pull the pin on it, on cognitive dissonance, and like a bomb squad, we explode it, and then we look inside. So what does it mean? It means that when we as an American or a Westerner have been programmed by our environment, by our past, by our education, our society, our friends, there's a certain programming that's a part of every Westerner. And that programming has certain bullet points that people do not want to be disturbed. So when those bullet points are disturbed, instead of just saying, oh, really? I'll change my thinking, there's a process of pain that's required to really see the truth, that most people don't want to walk through the door of pain. Let me give you an example. 9/11. I remember when 9/11 happened, I was angry, and as you were, Doug, the whole country was angry. America was mad. The West was a little sad, And then the people on the sidelines were just looking and saying, huh, what are they going to do with this? Finally, they have some pain. But for Americans, it was very painful. And I remember for the first 2 weeks after 9/11, I was broken. I was grieving. I remember being at the checkout line of a Safeway, and there was a tabloid. You know, they put the tabloids by the checkout. And the tabloid had a photograph of some of the jumpers. And I believe over 70 people jumped from the burning buildings. And they had in the front page, someone falling. Remember those images, Doug? They were horrible. And I just wanted to break down and weep. And so in my sadness, I was mad also because I wanted somebody to pay. Somebody had to pay, and I was even thinking, this land is my land, this land is your land, someone has to pay, because this was my land, they did it to. And over the course of a few months and then a few years, we were fed the lie that, well, since somebody has to pay, let's invade somewhere. So then we were fed the propaganda about invading Afghanistan and then Iraq, which had nothing to do with it. And then within a few months and then years after that, the truth started coming out, though, of the unanswered questions of 9/11. And then when we were willing to look at the unanswered questions, the hardest hurdle for me as an American, at that time I wasn't awake yet, Doug, but when I started seeing all the unanswered questions, I had to come to terms with the wrestling that was going on in my heart and in my mind. And I had to wrestle with the cognitive dissonance of established rules that I had in the way I thought. And those rules included this. Our government would never hurt us. The U.S. government would never lie to us. We are all in this together. We're the good guys. There's no rogue people that would be involved in our government. And Doug, when I started seeing all the pieces come together, I had to conclude that, okay, I'm either going to accept the truth that something's not right here, or I'm going to just keep ignoring it. But to ignore it would mean I'm going against my conscience, because I know something wasn't right there. So over the course of several months, I then had to come to terms with it, and coming to terms with it was like yanking out a root element of my being, of my soul, and replacing it with shaky ground and no man's land. So cognitive dissonance it keeps people in bondage, but if we can get past it, see, the dissonance part of that word means inconsistency. We don't want inconsistency in our thinking. We want everything to be consistent. It has to all match. When we wake up every day, we know that Superman's keeping us safe and our government is the good guys. We wear the white hats. Americans are always good. Our military is always good. The CIA is always good. We're the Christians of the world. And Jesus blesses anything that we do and any choice that we make. That's consistency. But when we are fed, then, hey, guess what? Some of those things aren't true. And you've been believing a falsehood. It's like the emperor's new clothes. Instead of admitting the emperor is naked, most people would rather not go through the extra effort. So they say he is dressed and he looks fine, but it takes the eyes of a child to say, I can't see it. Hey, you're naked. So the transformation to get over this hurdle is part of the awakening process, and that's even the process that's needed for end-time Christians. Jesus said that if possible, the elect would be deceived. Paul tells us because people have no love for the truth, God would let them believe a lie, and he's going to send a strong delusion so that they do believe lies. We're in the end times. There are lies that are going to make the end times fulfilled, and lies are required to bring this about. Deception is required. Deception is engineered by Satan, the father of lies, and his puppet elite, the globalist, the New World Order. Doug, how interesting is it that a few years ago, O'Reilly made fun of anyone that brought up the term New World Order, and that was a laughing point on Fox News where any of these wackos believe in the New World Order. Well, now it's out in the open. They have guests that interview that talk openly about it. Well, I guess it wasn't a wacko thing after all, was it? So who was in the wrong after that? What does that prove? It proves that they do not want to know the truth. So to get rid of the wrong thinking, we need to dispose of deception and lies. And Paul tells us that even as Christians, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So, ladies and gentlemen, the renewing of the mind requires a process of pain. And the realization of understanding the end times requires, if you're an American, to put aside the traditional philosophies of man and that box that most American Christians live by. You know, that box that we're all given when we get saved. And I share this on my program, Doug. When a person enters the kingdom of God in modern-day America, they're given this little shoebox, and if you open it up, it has a list of the programs you're supposed to listen to from that point on, because they're the clerics that give you the truth. Rush Limbaugh, Dittohead, he only gives the truth. And from that point on, you don't listen to CNN, you only listen to Fox News because they tell the truth. And Rick Warren tells the truth because he's America's pastor, and his buddy Joel Osteen tells the truth because he's also his sidekick. So if people live by that, and also, by the way, you have to declare that vaccines are true and they're good for you, and the U.S. government would never, ever, ever hurt you. And 9/11, to believe in 9/11 is crazy wacko. So if you follow these things, you will walk in the correction, in the correct way of a modern-day American Christian.
And Ann Coulter, hey, radiation is good for you, you know, talking about Fukushima. Black is white. Truth is, or lies are truth. Everything's upside down, inside out, and backwards. It's unfortunate. You know, Nathan, today, Brian Williams within the last 24 or 36 hours, it came to light that Brian Williams fabricated his, this self-aggrandizing type of moment where the helicopter he was riding was shot at and it was forced down. And it was all a lie. It was all fabrication. And so he gave this tortured apology you know, the belief system. And I'm gonna, I just wonder how many people really caught that or understand that, that, you know, the trust, and it's a shame. Because there are a lot of people who listen to Rush Limbaugh. He's blessed with a massive audience. There are a lot of people who listen to, I mean, the people who are blessed with audiences. It's unfortunate they're not talking about what's important. We're living in a time like no other, in a time when truth in nearly all areas of life remains elusive, and when once trusted individuals, well, they're being exposed, like Brian Williams and others. And you know, but there's another level of deception far worse, and that's the level of deception to which you reference, and that's the intentional misguiding of otherwise good people, you know, and that's what we're seeing right now. And it's unfortunate. I didn't mean to overtake you there, Nathan, but you mentioned some great stuff there.
Well, Doug, as you share in your program, you were sharing it last night, and you shared often, that we are in the midst of a campaign of lies. You know, some of the well-meaning, in fact, most of the well-meaning Americans who want to believe in what's right, they don't want to believe in darkness. They don't want to admit that they've been deceived, but they want to believe what's true. Unfortunately, the powers that be are well-funded here in the United States to keep the Operation Deception going. How many people remember, Doug, remember this? It was exposed. And even if we go back to the beginnings of the Iraq War in 2003 and 2004, Pat Tillman, when he was there, said, hey, this was a bad choice. I'm going to come back to America and spread the word that it's a lie. And then, oops, he had a friendly fire accident, which, by the way, was a lie at first. And then we saw the story about that female soldier who was a great hero, and then it turned out that it was all made up.
Yep.
And then I remember another report that the Pentagon was busted because they had several thousand people on payroll in their boiler room sending letters to small newspapers all over the country, letters to the editor from pseudo-fake privates and people in the Army supporting the Iraq War, sending letters home. Hey, I'm here from Midtown, Ohio, and I'm just out here fighting, and I just want to thank everyone for their support. And it turned out, Doug, that the letters that were being sent to the editor were duplicated, they were cut and pasted, and they were showing up in the same newspapers all over the country with different names of soldiers. So it was revealed that it was a campaign of propaganda. The soldiers really weren't writing in. It was employees of the Pentagon writing to newspapers. And so lies have always taken us to war. Tavistock and Rand Corporation, they're good at this stuff. And right now we are being – they're setting it up for a new war, and that's what we're going to go into in the second and third hour about how war is coming. And they've already decided who the victors are going to be, and they've decided who the ones that are defeated are going to be. And I'm going to show some images, Doug, that are going to bring all this to the light. So I see what time it is. Do I get started now, or
well, we can take a break. Yeah, why don't we take a break right now, and you can continue uploading the images, and that'll give you a chance to do that, and us a chance to grab a cup of Joe here, and we're going to be right back. Folks, you're listening to a very special Monday, or Monday, I don't even know what day it is,
Thursday.
I shouldn't even be here. Yeah, a very special Thursday edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. It's the fifth day of February already, a month from now, Orlando, Prophecy and News Conference. Love to see you down there. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this Thursday edition of the Hagman & Hagman Report. Today is February 5th, 2015. Our guest tonight, Nathan Leal's website is watchmanscry.com. Go there for the latest updates on his Super Bowl breakdown insight, the latest audio sermons that he provides, and for the interactive forum that you could join, be a part of, and meet like-minded people and discuss the issues that are in our world of news and current events today. With that, Nathan, I'm going to turn it right back over to you, and I'm excited to hear what you have to get into this hour.
Okay, Doug and Joe, let's get right into it. As we begin, I want to say that in order to decode the Super Bowl halftime show, and actually the whole Super Bowl, tonight I'm going to focus on the halftime show itself. I haven't had enough time to break down all of the commercials yet. I did see that there were some, Joe, we talked about some of them off the air on the phone. But tonight I want to talk about the big one, which actually the two big messages that were displayed in the Super Bowl. One of them had to do with the teams involved, and then the other one had to do with Katy Perry, her halftime show. Now, when we break down and look at how this thing transpired, the thing, in order for we as discerning Christians, in order for us to see the images and understand what's taking place, we have to get beyond the physical dimension. And we have to also understand how they think, what they're going to do. Now, I know that some people would argue, and Doug, I heard you last night talking about the struggle that you had, should you have shown the darkness of the beheadings and all that, and that's the past, but you wondered, should you or shouldn't you? Well, some people, I've heard them say, you shouldn't worry about what these people are doing because it's just darkness and you just need to focus on the good stuff, which is true. Philippians 4:8 says, whatsoever things are just and of good report, think on these things. However, in order to understand our enemy, the Bible does tell us to be vigilant, to understand that there's a devil out there. He's a lion. He wants to bite us. We need to stand. We need to understand what the fiery darts are. Revelation is full of a disclosure of what they're going to do, of their darkness. So with that being said, that's why we as Christians need to know this, because Doug and Joe, as we continue to progress into the end times, into the last days, and into the coming war, many Christians, because they would rather keep their eyes closed and cover their eyes from the truth, are going to fall into the trap of deception. So that's why I do this. I do this so that we can have more ammunition to know what to keep away from and what to stay away from. So in order to understand this, we need to see how they think. The Illuminati and the Masonic orders of the world, the esoteric orders, which means the secret orders, they take pride in their secret messages. They take pride in their symbolism that only they can decode, but others cannot. And they even have made public statements in their writings. Joe, I know you study their writings a lot, and you're aware of this. They take pride in knowing, and it is true, it is knowing, that the average person can see their signs right in front of their face, and they won't be able to understand or decode it. So the Masonic order, because the average person cannot decode it, they insult them, and behind our back, they call us the profane one, because only the illuminated ones can understand the light and their secrets. So I'm doing this also. I'm shining a light on what they did, because they're telegraphing what they plan to do, and if the message is only for themselves, or if it's to make to fulfill an official requirement in the esoteric world that you have to let them know, even though they can't understand it, whatever the reason for doing it is, they do it, and we now know that they do it. So when I start explaining what Katy Perry did, there's going to be several layers that I'm going to present. I'm not just going to focus on the outer layer. The outer layer is the surface layer. That is what appeared on the TV screens. And most people that saw what took place with Katy Perry left scratching their head saying, well, I don't understand what the big fuss was all about. She seems like a good old girl. There were safe images for children. It wasn't that scary. So what's the big deal? And I'm going to talk about that, Doug and Joe, and listeners. I'm going to also let you know about the struggle that I initially had, because at first I thought that I had been duped. Wow, I was expecting evil, and it looked innocent. But then when I went back and started studying it, then I saw that everything was there. And in order to see the symbolism and the imagery, it requires that we go beyond the surface layer into the layer of the esoteric, the secret orders, what they want to do, what they have planned. And then we have to also go into the spiritual realm, where ritualistic things do take place amongst them. And on our end, we have God, we have angels, we have the celestial, we have the spirit realm. And to be able to look at the world through those goggles requires extra effort. And the average person, either because they haven't been trained to do it, to discern, they don't do it. But that's what we do here on these programs, Joe and Doug, and that's what I'm going to talk about. Now, let's start out with those involved, the teams involved, the Patriots versus the Seahawks. And let's look at what took place in the game. Let's look at the score. Now, I've said this before, Doug. I do not necessarily place all of my source of knowledge on tea leaves, and I do not consider the score of the football game tea leaves that must be read and that are the sum of the truth, the sum of all the parts. However, things do take place that are beyond coincidence, and things do take place in our world that, to the person that's discerning, causes them to have to admit that there are forces that are beyond regular physical forces of man. When we look at what took place, when we go back at many of the terrorist attacks that have taken place, some of the numbers that are involved, Doug and Joe, are beyond coincidence. And some people would say, yeah, but it just so happened they planned it on 9/11, and the towers were shaped like 1/1. And we see the 11 in a lot of the dates, or we see 7/7 in the dates, and then we also see it in things that took place, stock market reports, et cetera. It's not all under the control of human beings, is one thing that we need to see. We live in a world that is not limited to the physical. God is the creator of this world. He's the sovereign God, and he is mapping the world. He's mapping the plan of man. He has the script already decided. He has prophesied, and we have that written in the Bible. And at the same time, we have the players of the outer dark dimension, Satan and his realm. And they are also involved in making things happen beyond the ability of man to be able to manipulate the results. So when we look at the score and what took place in the game, some people would say that was all rigged. The Super Bowl was rigged. This proves that the NFL is rigged. But I watched the game, Doug, and I saw things that defied my rationale. It defied things that I have seen in the past in football games. As an example, in the last few minutes of that game, it appeared that the Seahawks were going to have a miracle win. And if you remember, I don't know who the receiver was, but in the last few minutes, one of the ball was tipped and it was in the air, and the Seahawks receiver landed on his back, and he juggled the ball and it landed in his hands. It defied logic. It was just an incredible play. Did you see that, Doug, at the very end of the game?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, throughout the game, I was saying to my wife, the Seahawks are going to win. But I saw that play, and it was an astounding play. And I know plays like this happen, but that was really one for the record book.
Well, I believe it was, if I may use the term, it was a prophetic object lesson. The game was a prophetic object lesson where we are going to see things play out, and they were representatives of both sides of the teams that are coming. Now, we understand, we grieve, we lament on these programs, and we talk about how the battle of freedom has already been waged. It is already game on. The United States is suffering a tyrannical overthrow, and we are watching freedoms diminish. We're watching them die. The Statue of Liberty has been beheaded. We're watching all that take place, and in the midst of that narrative, we are also wondering, and people are wondering, who's going to be the Paul Revere, the Patrick Henry, the Samuel Adams? Who's going to stand up and say no? Will anyone do it, or are people too drowsy? What's going to happen? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you happen to be listening to this, what we saw in the football game was a peek at what's coming. The battle for freedom will never end. Now, I want to say that because the Bible, it reinforces it. The Battle of Armageddon is the final battle of mankind, and even in that battle, we have people who are still saying no to the beast government and to the forces of the Antichrist. We're going to have people that will resist it to the very end when Jesus shows up. Revelation 13 tells us some people will choose to die by the sword because they don't have, that's just who they are. Those that go into captivity will suffer captivity, but those that kill by the sword will die by the sword. And at this point in the narrative, in the timeline, Doug, most of our listeners have processed that thought. What are you going to do? Are you going to just sit on your hands? Or are you going to go in a blaze of glory? Let's just be honest here, Doug. I don't know if those are bad terms to use openly on these programs, but some people are going to choose to do that because the Bible tells us. Now, when we watched the football game, what we saw was a battle of the Patriots against the Seattle Seahawks. The Seattle Seahawks, over the last few years, Doug, and if you happen to be a Washingtonian, ladies and gentlemen, if you live in the Pacific Northwest and that's your team, I'm not meaning to insult you. This is not a personal stab. But the Seattle Seahawks, in the last few years, have developed a reputation for being mean, ruthless, and they don't play by the rules. The Seattle Seahawks got to where they got in both Super Bowls. Let me say this, Doug, and I'm about to anger a lot of people by cheating, because they were the most penalized team this year and last year, and on every play, Pete Carroll tells them, "You want to go, if you have an opportunity to do pass interference to stop them from scoring, do it." And they do it almost every play. The refs aren't going to call the penalty every play, and I've seen them, I've watched them over the past few years, Doug. The refs aren't calling all of the interference that's going on. So when people say they're great, well, they got where they arrived where they got by not following the rules. Now, they're not the only guilty ones. A lot of teams do this, but they are the most penalized team. The Patriots also cheated to get to the Super Bowl. Deflation gate. So what does it tell us? It tells us both sides, even though you want to pick a side, both sides are not entirely righteous. The Seattle Seahawks represent the dark, ravenous birds in the end time narrative. The ravenous birds, we see in the book of Revelation, will be allowed to be sent by God to eat the scraps of those that have perished. We have the ravenous birds. God's going to allow them to. They're part of the beast judgment, and we see it in Revelation. We've seen it in the Old Testament. The ravenous birds do represent the hawks. They eat up the carcasses. Jesus said where the hawk is, the eagle is, there the carcass will be gathered. The Seattle Seahawks, SS, they represent the bad guys. And if you remember Richard Sherman, the way he behaved last year, we saw the way, even after they won, they were embarrassed, an embarrassment to sportsmanship. After this game, we saw them embarrass themselves once again. They are the ravenous birds, the SS, that will never be satisfied with what happens. Now, last year, when they went to the Super Bowl, they beat the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos are the good old boys. Peyton Manning, cornbread, farm-raised, he represented the good guys, and they got demolished. They were cremated. The blitzkrieg happened. They didn't have a chance. And then here we are 1 year later, a repeat. But it wasn't a repeat, Doug. It was a continuation. It was part two of what we saw last year. 1 year later, the Patriots organized and opposed them, and it was a back-and-forth match. Now, over the last few years, I have had prophetic dreams where I saw the Patriots rise up and resist. And, Doug, we've shared those on your programs. The Patriots are not going to go away. Some of the Patriots that exist have extreme beliefs. Some of them they have darkness in their beliefs, like the Aryan Nation, but they consider themselves Patriots. And then we can come all the way to the other end of the spectrum where we have the Patriots who are Bible-believing conservative Christians, and they're just tired of the tyranny. So the Patriots run a very wide gamut. But all of those individuals who want freedom are going to stand up for freedom. Now, for those the members of the Patriots who might be motorcycle gang members, and you remember some of them went down to Nevada. Well, you know what? It takes all kinds. And when we had the Revolutionary War, George Washington's army was a band of thugs and throwaways and misfit toys who took place and took part in helping set this nation free. So everybody's going to be used, and everyone is needed for this thing. Now, when we watched the end of the Super Bowl, time ran out in the game, and it seemed that whoever had the ball when the clock ran out was the winner. There was an amazing play where the Seattle Seahawks caught the ball, and then two plays later, they gave the ball away. And then to kill the clock, Tom Brady needed to take a knee, but he was in the end zone, so he had to move forward. And when that happened, a fight broke out. You remember that?
Yeah.
When it was obvious, okay, there's just a few guys, 20 seconds left, 18 seconds, we're done. Let's go home with our dignity. That's not what happened. The Seahawks, it came to blows, and instead of shaking hands and praying together on the field, we saw the battle royal erupt. So what does that tell us? I believe there was a very important message that we saw there. What we saw, Doug and Joe and listeners, what we saw is in this battle that's coming, the battle is going to continue even after the clock runs out to the very, very end. The SS is not going to give up. The tyrants are not going to give up. And praise God for the Patriots that are going to show up. Now, Doug, I do believe that we have to make correct discerning choices in the way that we're going to behave when this thing goes down. I do not believe that we need to be bloodthirsty and just trigger happy. I don't believe that. And I believe that I've been on the show enough times that we've talked about that. That's established. But at the same time, I don't believe that we're supposed to just lay down. And God does raise people from their mother's womb to be born and to be a warrior.
That's right.
The way it is. God has always required warriors, and he's given us warriors. So warriors are going to be involved with what's coming. And the challenge, though, ladies and gentlemen, is whichever side you're on, if you're going to be one of those who's up on the wall and your ministry is intercessory, prayer, when this thing goes down, then fulfill your ministry. If your job is to be one of the warriors, then be a warrior that's righteous. Don't be a warrior that is unrighteous and is full of sin. That's why we have to make sure we know what side we're on. I like that piece that you played in the break, that individual about the golden calf. That's a great piece, and that's exactly true. So what is the golden calf in the lives of the Patriots? Ladies and gentlemen, let's get our lives in order right now. Now, that was the symbolism for the score. The Patriots won, but did they really win? Because the fight went on. For the people that are wondering, okay, Nathan, if the score of the football game was a sign, does that mean that we're going to beat the tyrants? Does that mean they're going to go away and freedom will be restored and we'll get back to peace? No. What it means is from this point on, it's going to be chaos until Jesus comes back. It's never going to end. And Doug, how interesting is it that they told us, you said that yesterday, I don't know which politician said that, the 30-year war. I heard Dick Cheney say it's going to be a 100-year war. So they're never going to stop fighting the people. Everyone's going to be a suspect from this point on. It's going to be Hunger Games. Everyone will be relocated to their district. And so that's the future. I do not see us, and I say this because I have had prophetic glimpses, and I know what the Bible says, and I know what time it is, and because we can see that we're under judgment, the West is under judgment, the West has not repented, and because of all that, the judgment will take place, but even in the judgment, the Patriots are still active. When we look in the book of Jeremiah, when Nebuchadnezzar surrounded Jerusalem, put them under siege for a year and a half, and then finally he broke down the walls, they went in, and they destroyed Jerusalem, took the people captive, they left a remnant behind to tend the fields and to send crops back to Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon placed a puppet government in power, and then after the armies of Babylon left, they were then occupied by occupying forces. But in the Bible, we can read in Jeremiah 41, 42, 43, we can read that after Nebuchadnezzar left and the puppet was in place, civil war took place, revolution took place, and the Patriots came out of the woods and started fighting the other factions. And then they went to Jeremiah and said, Jeremiah, what do we do? Jeremiah told them what to do, and then they said, we're not going to listen to you. So they made a mistake, even though they're well-meaning, in our context, red, white, and blue, good old boy Americans, they didn't follow the voice of God. So in the context of the present, the choice needs to be made now, Doug. Are we just going to follow the team captain? Are we just going to follow Ted Nugent, who blindly leads because he has an American flag and all rules are set aside and it's only what they decide? Or is the righteous statutes of God, the principles of God, going to be a part of what the Patriots do in the coming future? Those are very important questions, because if history is going to repeat itself, this is what I see, Doug. The majority of people who are going to be well-meaning are going to make the wrong choices, and they're going to be left out of the fold of God when Jesus shows up. So, ladies and gentlemen, please analyze your heart, and please make sure. It's easy to out of one side of your mouth say, I'm an American, and I'm a Christian, and I only want freedom. But then part of your lifestyle includes unrighteous things. And when it really gets heated, unrighteous acts. So
very well said. And Nathan, you know, that's so important to drive home, because I have a tendency to get animated on my shows and, you know, say things like, you know, I'm going to go out. I mean, if I'm going out, if I know I'm going out, I'm going to take as many people with me as I can. When I say things like that, it sounds good. And it almost, I don't want to ever seem like a keyboard warrior. But on the other side, too, I don't want to seem like I'm a bloodthirsty, unrighteous, unthinking person. And I know most of the people listening are the same way. It's because of that, or to avoid the extremes. We need that scriptural, the word, we need to infuse the word into our actions. We need that divine instruction. We need to listen to what God is telling us. It doesn't mean not to be righteously angry, or it doesn't mean not to fight, and it certainly doesn't mean to lay down. It means that we, as you said, make wise choices. Thank you for that.
Right. Now, as we progress into breaking down the show, I said this part in advance to establish that there will be, and there always is, in every revolution and every uprising, there's the government versus the people. And then the government uses their propaganda tools to relabel those who do not like their tyranny and call the freedom fighters names. And they relabel them so that the other people that are undecided can then be coaxed into the believing what the government wants them to believe. And so isn't it interesting, Doug, when instead of when you call them freedom fighters, you call them rebels or extremists or, you know, all these terms that show that they're the quote-unquote bad guys,
yep,
instead of people just wanting you to leave their home, their homeland?
Yep. Yep.
So I was talking about cognitive dissonance earlier. This is the other thing that's very important, ladies and gentlemen. In order to get past that type of thinking when you're having a struggle with it, here's one way to help you. Change the shoe. Put the shoe on the other foot. In other words, and you're struggling with some information that you have heard, put yourself in the position of the opposition, and then you have to summarize if the conclusion is the same. For example, Doug, I don't know if this will make some people mad, but it's the truth. Let me rephrase that. When Russia and China start occupying America, when they invade us, if they go backwards and they start looking into the Internet, they will probably not exist at that time, but they'll go backwards and look into the archives and they'll say, okay, who took part in the blogs against what we're going to do? Let's round them up. So they start going door to door, and they have their little convoy going up and down urban streets. These are Russian and Chinese. Or let's even say they're Muslims. What are their ISIS members? Going up and down the streets, and there's a convoy of them, and they're walking very strategically, and one by one they kick in the doors, and they go into the house, and they search the houses. Where is Doug Hagman? Where is Joe? Tell us where he is. We know. And so they rough people up, and some of the other neighborhood citizens, neighborhood watch, patriots, for example, are across the street, and they think to themselves, well, you know what, I'm going to go out in the blaze of glory, so I got to at least take some out. So they try to do that, but the Russian sniper is on the roof, or the Chinese sniper is on the roof, or the Muslim sniper is on the roof, and he's making sure patriots don't do that. So their technique is to go house to house, and then to make sure no one stops them, and they use snipers to do it.
Right.
Let me ask you a question, Doug. Is that Russian or Chinese sniper a hero? Walking through your street.
Boy, go ahead and lure us into that. A hero to their side, and obviously a bad guy to the other side. And I know where
exactly.
You're going.
So depending on what side you're in, that's where reality and truth is decided. But is it a just scale? When we say it out loud in the world court, and they say, but was it fair? Was it just? Or, in wartime, snipers are required. I mean, I'm not saying they're not. But if we're the ones that are being occupied in our eyes, I don't consider them being fair, and I'm not going to like it. So to use the vernacular and the terminology and the rhetoric that they're heroes, to the ones that are occupied, are they heroes? No. They're occupiers. But to the soldiers who want to get back home, when they eat dinner at night, they say, thank you for keeping me safe so I can go back home.
Right.
You're my hero. So do you see how truth is, depending on which shoes you're wearing, is different? And that's what I'm talking about. It's required, Doug, that if we look at truth the way truth should be seen, then let's be honest about it. Now, if it was Hitler's army, if we were in Germany, we just want the war to end. We want to get rid of those Nazis. We're going to bust door down because they started the war anyway. So it's fine. The snipers are heroes. But if we went and invaded someone that didn't have to be invaded, didn't need it to be invaded, and then we start kicking down their doors, and then we're protecting our soldiers, from the viewpoint of a soldier, yeah, they're a hero. But in the big picture, we're just occupying forces, oppressing another nation. So I'm bringing that up, Doug, because it depends on which perspective you have. Chuck Baldwin wrote a great article about this.
Okay, and the other part of that, just to take it a step further, and don't lose that Chuck Baldwin thought, but, you know, it's amazing how the American public, through the film American Sniper, is being programmed. And this is not – I'm not making any determination on good, bad, and different. Just look – forget about the subject, but look at the management of the topic. Forget about American Sniper as what it is. Just look at the management of the topic and the swaying of public opinion. It could be about an apple, or it could be about a football, it doesn't matter. Watch what they're doing. But go ahead, sir, with the Chuck Baldwin.
This is what I'm getting at also, Doug. That shows the genius of Tavistock and propaganda, because if you tug at the heartstrings of the average American, you tug at red, white, and blue, and you stick a blade in it, people are going to respond. So they know what they're doing. And when people came out of that theater, they weren't thinking – with all of their rationale. See, Chuck Baldwin, he summed it up beautifully. He said he's not mad at Mr. Kyle, the late Chris
right.
Kyle. He's not
right.
mad at him. He's not mad at our soldiers. He's mad that they are led to believe that anything they do is okay, and they're led like lambs to the slaughter. As lambs to the slaughter, they're mistreated. The veterans hospital mistreats our soldiers. The benefits, it's a joke, Doug. They're fodder. They mean well. They believe in the Ronald Reagan America. They've been brought up on that. They were taught. They're second, third, fourth generation military families. But they're mistreated, and they're used as fodder. The elite don't care about them. They prove
right.
it by the way that they treat them. When you have veterans living under bridges, that proves that they're fodder. So they are deceptively going in and doing something they believe is heroic, depending on where you are. In their eyes, it is. But the elite don't care. The compassion for their sacrifice is not there. Now, that being let's put that part aside. They showed this movie. It was brilliant. It was out of the park. At the very end, no music. They showed the funeral procession. Everyone's crying. No one's making a sound in the theater. I've seen that over and over in blogs. You can't even talk. It hurts. You just want to weep. Okay, great job. But, Doug, people wanted to – and my wife brought this to my attention when I was talking to her about it. She said, you know what? Everyone cried when E.T. left also.
That's true.
So, aside from that, though, when people left the theater, they in their eyes were thinking, yeah, at least we have some hero we can look up to, because people want a hero. That's our mentality. But in addition to they found their hero, they also had something else going on in their mind. This is what it was. And I'm sure people talked about it when they went out to eat after. Here's what it was, Doug. Three words. I hate Muzzies. Kill Muzzies. Kill Haji. I can't wait. If he came here, oh, boy. This is it's a propaganda campaign for the coming war, Doug. It's to galvanize Americans to get ready. Hey, sign me up. I want to do what he did. I want to be a hero like that. It's brilliant propaganda. I'll give him.
Yeah, I agree with you, Nathan. I really do. Except, for example, well, there's no except. I guess this is in addition to. I don't like being played. None of us like being played. Now, we have ISIS out there who are burning people, for example, burning the Jordanian pilot alive and mutilating schoolgirls, you know, young girls, and raping and pillaging and plundering without being occupied or invaded. That being ISIS, which happens to, interestingly, the acronym is interesting by itself. But the fact is, who created ISIS? Now, you know, there's no one. I don't believe there's anyone in existence, with the exception of those brainwashed, that could find that behavior or that tactic acceptable or embraceable or okay. So, I mean, what about those? What about those people?
Okay, here it is. Mr. Eastwood, which stage do you want for your movie? Oh, stage 7? Okay, thank you. Jihadi London Bob, which stage do you want? Oh, you want stage 11? Okay, well, you have this warehouse and you have that one. Okay, here's some film. It's propaganda, Doug. It's Hollywood production. It's CIA production. You have the good guys production, and then you have the bad guys production made by the same team. Just like Mr. Hur said, give me the story and I'll give you a war. That's what we're seeing right now.
Okay. All right.
The jihadists are a CIA creation of propaganda.
That's true.
And, yeah, they're killing people, but you said it brilliantly. We've watched the quality improve, haven't we?
Oh, very much. And that, you know, you do not create a production, a film production, like we saw aired on Fox News. You don't do that in your mother's basement or in some cave somewhere or in some dustbin of civilization. This is done with high quality stuff, and it's movie quality production. I had people, a film major, tell me 2 days ago. He watched the film and said, look, there's something really wrong here because this did not take this is not done with an Apple iPhone. So you're exactly right. And I'll just repeat the statement. You know, I hate lies, and I don't like death, and I don't like, or murder, that is. But I also don't like to be gamed either. I don't like to be gamed.
Doug, there is proof that this is done in the studio. And let me give one example. The folks can Google it during halftime or whenever you want to. When Jihadi Bob or London Bob, whatever his name is, MI6, CIA, whoever the guy is, who wears Nike sneakers, when they showed him holding the two Japanese prisoners in the Guantanamo Bay orange jumpsuits, by the way, where'd they get those, Doug? Right? Side note. Hey, U.S. military, can you give us some more issue of Guantanamo Bay for... Yeah. Okay. When Jihadi Bob is holding the two Japanese prisoners and they're on their knees and he's standing in the middle of them, did you see that photograph that shows a shadow under their chin? Because the left guy has a shadow that's going to his left, and then the right prisoner has a shadow under his chin going to his... They're both, the shadows are pointing inwards to the guy standing between them, meaning that there's a light on each side, meaning they're in a studio. And it's also a green screen.
Yep. I did notice that, and I termed that just a joke, the Oswald backyard rifle photo. There's something wrong with that in terms of its spontaneity. It was definitely there's something definitely wrong with that. Anyone can see that. Anyone with the intellectual honesty, and you've got to be honest, you've got to take emotion out of it and just look at it as a piece of evidence and analyze it as a piece of evidence. You're absolutely right.
Now, Doug, how many of our military brass who are from the old school who learned the Constitution when they were in school? Today, our millennial children aren't learning the Constitution like they used to. I've spoken to people in the military who have shared with me that the old school military versus the new recruits that are coming in are two different peas in a butt. They don't even match. The old school believes in the Constitution and freedom in doing what's right. The young ones, they just want to follow orders and they could care less about anything. They're just in there. They're a bunch of partiers. They're irreverent. They don't understand authority. They struggle with authority. It's not the same generation. So that's why Obama's getting rid of the old school, because they're saying, I'm not going to take part in your new world order invasions any longer. And so Obama's getting rid of them. And with that said, let me move now into the program. As I was stating, the Seahawks showed that even when the game is over, they're not going to quit fighting. The Beast knows this. They know that the Patriots will never stop fighting. So they're going to try, and they're going to do everything they can. So we expect, ladies and gentlemen, to see legislation to back this up. They know that the Patriots are going to cause them problems, so they're going to preemptively try to eliminate them while they have time. And the halftime show reveals this. They're going to figure out who's on which person is on which side, and they're going to eliminate them. Now, the other important message that I saw and that I'm about to reveal is that war is imminent. And in order for the powers that be to be victorious in the coming war, Doug, they must create and control the illusion. The illusion, the productions, the movies, the galvanizing the people, making them angry, all that, what we just mentioned. They need to make sure they're in control. Now, as I was stating earlier, and I have seen a few blogs, I took a peek. I didn't want to take many peeks at some of the YouTubes out there breaking down the Super Bowl because I didn't want to be influenced. But when I, after I had most of my information, then I started peeking, and what I saw was most of the videos that exist at this point, Doug, are saying the same thing. And
yep.
they didn't have time, whether it's because they didn't have time to spend dissecting it, or they don't know how, or I don't know. But it was the same message that I kept seeing over and over. And the messages that I'm seeing on YouTube that are lasting 10 or 15 minutes to break down the Super Bowl are saying the same three or four things that I'm about to mention that everyone saw. But it's impossible to break this thing down in 15 minutes. There's no way. But let me just start at the top. The team, the same team, here they are again, Doug, who gave us this presentation is the same two guys, Ricky Kirshner and Hamish Hamilton. Over the past few years, Kirshner has made the halftime show into his satanic promotion and his ritual to telegraph what's coming, and he was involved with Madonna, Beyonce, last year Bruno Mars, and now Katy Perry, and now he's also recruited in the last few years Hamish Hamilton. Hamish Hamilton, by the way, there's a Hamish Hamilton is also a book publisher. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the individual. He lives in the U.K., he was the one who brought us the Satanic Summer Olympic opening ceremony. Remember that thing, Doug?
Yep.
So these two individuals have been involved in the productions of the New World Order. Kirshner, as a side note, was the person who brought us at the DNC in 2008 in Denver and in Invesco Field. You remember when they christened Obama and knighted him as the Emperor of the World, and he came out with smoke and a fog machine, and they recreated the Roman Pantheon at the DNC?
The Pergamus, or if I'm mispronouncing that, perhaps. Yeah, yep.
Okay, by the way, you can go to my website. I have the notes up, Doug. Ladies and gentlemen, you can go to watchmanscard.com. On the right side, it says photos and images, and you can click on that, and I have some images, program notes, with some images to look at. So you can go ahead and hit that. When Mr. Kirshner created that illusion for Obama to be the emperor of the world, that goes back how many years? Oh, wait. So we have the same team, Doug, who over and over are involved in the illusion of the New World Order, and it spans the ocean. We see him in Europe. We see him here. He's involved in Tony Awards, conventions, political conventions. He's on the side of the progressives, and they continue to produce programs that are out of the park. I mean, they're good at what they do, aren't they? But that's what propaganda requires. It requires talent. Now, if you are at my notes page, I have an image of the Pantheon. You see that, Doug?
I do, yep.
The thing that I've wondered about, because I've tried to find the resume of these two individuals, and I wondered, are they doing it on purpose? Do they know what they're doing? Do they take part in these satanic rituals in some dungeon of a mansion in one of these cities where they sacrifice a baby? Or are they just following orders? Or is there a spiritual presence involved in their gift where it just continues to come out and result in more Illuminati symbolism in all of the productions? I think it's all of the above. I'm not going to say, because I don't want to slander these gentlemen, I don't know them, so I'm not going to say they take part in the rituals, but I do know they rub shoulders with the progressives. And I do know that they, based on what they've produced already, you can get an idea of what they believe. They don't have a problem producing pagan-oriented productions. So I do not think that they're spirit-filled Holy Ghost Christians who are following the law of God. I believe that they're being used by the New World Order, and in a mighty way. So when Kirshner produced the Super Bowl, once again with Hamish Hamilton, was he being prophetic or just following orders? It appears that they're just keeping the Illuminati happy, and they're being consistent with their presentations of darkness. Now, when we first saw the halftime show, I watched it, you watched it, listeners, you watched it. We saw what happened. I had a notebook in front of me. I was taking notes. And the one thing that really stood out, and I've heard other people mention this, you mentioned it already, like it was obvious. It was part two of last year, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And Nathan, let me just say, anyone analyzing these events, you've got to take all. I mean, if you're looking at this from an investigative point of view, this is a secondary crime scene or an extension of the initial crime scene. So you've got to look at this as a continuing course of events and even throw in as additional exhibits if you are in a trial setting. For example, the cover of The Economist and the 2012 Olympics, and you come across, you identify all the same or the usual suspects. So, yes, and not too many people are understanding the scope of this. So go ahead, sir.
Well, last year we saw the main thing that everyone saw was the prepare message. The children's choir, they used children to sing the song, and they said prepare three times, and then over the course of several weeks and months, we found the prepare message was also in the fans. They were wearing those PixMob hats that lit up, and the word prepare went up through the crowd. I have the animation, by the way, in my notes from last year. You can see it,
yep.
And we talked about it. So the prepare message was everywhere last year. And Bruno Mars last year, we talked about this, Doug. We called it, and anyone who saw it called it. Half the awake people called it. Bruno Mars was the symbolic representation of the war that's coming. Mars is the god of war. And last year, we saw the theme of the military. We saw the theme of war. We saw the flyover. By the way, I have the images of the flyover, the 3, 3, and 3, the 3 Chinooks, 3 Blackhawks, and the 3 Apaches. We saw the shout-outs after when Bruno Mars was finished singing. He did that video montage of several of our enlisted service people giving a shout-out to their loved ones. Why did he do that? And then we broke that down. Remember that, Doug? And we found that the majority of the shout-outs were coming from AFRICOM and EUROCOM, which is in the same building located in Germany, which was a huge signal that EUROCOM is going to be involved in the next war, which at that time it was February 2nd. The Ukraine uprising had not started yet. Putin was a good guy. Putin was Chuck Norris. 2 weeks later, we had the Sochi Olympics, February 15th, and then 2 weeks after that, the Maidan Square uprisings began as a small, organized from NGOs uprising that soon spread to what we now see as a civil war. Now, interesting, Doug, I did a little background. NGO listeners, if you don't know what that is, non-government organization. Doug, how involved are they in all of this mess? Over and over, the uprisings we see from the Middle East, Egypt, et cetera, the NGOs are non-government organizations where you really have CIA assets and MI6 assets who create nonprofits, and they recruit supposedly college kids, and the idea that they present is college kids came up with the idea themselves, and they use the social media, they use Facebook and blogs to talk about how they're unhappy with what's going on in their respective leadership and governments. Let's meet at the square and hold signs. And how interesting is it, Doug? Every time they meet, they have prepared signs that are made professionally, and we saw same thing. The NGO that was involved in the Maidan Square uprising in the Ukraine in March of last year, the NGO was given hundreds of thousands of dollars by George Soros that caused that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, here's another interesting point. One of the biggest contributors to that thing was the gentleman who owns eBay. He contributed a lot of money to that NGO, the same one that Soros contributed to. Did you know that, Doug?
No.
And according to the latest report, he has purchased all of Mr. Snowden's files, and he owns them. And so he started a new media company called Free Media that wants to present media in freedom form, and perhaps he has good ideas, perhaps not, but he now has all the files, and he will release the Snowden files as he sees fit. But okay, so he's holding on to the Snowden files. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Google it. You can find this, or Bing it. If he means well, he holds these files, but why did he contribute to the Maidan uprising with George Soros? Okay, I don't want to deviate, but that happened. So now here we are a year later, Doug. Over 5,000 Ukrainians have died. We have the North against the South. New Russia wants to be separate, and we have a world war that's about to erupt, and it's going to pull in all of Europe. It's going to pull in NATO and the United States. This thing is not going away. It's getting worse. The ceasefires that they continue to sign, the treaties get broken, and both sides are not operating by the same rules. From time to time, Doug, go into YouTube, and I look at the videos from the Ukrainians, the Yukis they call them, fighting against the South, the new Russian freedom fighters, and then I see YouTubes of the freedom fighters, and it's interesting to see how they talk, how they speak, and refer to one another on each side, but the Northerners, when they make reference to the freedom fighters in the South, speak to them as they're animals, and they're full of hatred, and they're worthless. The Southerners speak and I've seen them do this, Doug. They're making an appeal to the world. They make their videos, and they're asking the world. They're saying, we need to stop this. I saw the Southern Freedom Fighters, you know, at YouTube. They were filming from the airport. They got destroyed recently in the South. And they said, the destruction you see here is going to come to Kiev, the capital of the Ukraine, and then it's going to spread to Europe, and then it's going to spread to the Pentagon. This war is going to come to the Pentagon, and I'm going to bring it to the Pentagon, because they're so upset that the United States is involved in the North. But some of the Southerners, Doug, they're on record, they're on YouTube saying, I am taking this war to America. So they're already saying openly they're going to be a part of the invasion force. Side note, but I'm bringing this up, not to deviate from what we saw in the Super Bowl, but I'm bringing it up because the Illuminati knows that's where we're headed. So in the presentation, these are the messages that they presented, and I have them written on my notes, but let me just read them. I have nine of them written. Number one, the world is going to be set on fire. This includes America. Number two, the United States is going to have several false flags that ignite the country. And I'll show those images in a moment. Number three, the United States is going to be fractured in the process. Four, the spirit of darkness and evil is going to ravage the country while it burns. Five, the New World Order beast is going to rise from the ashes and enter the scene. Six, the powers of darkness will be given allowances to bring this about. God's going to let this happen, ladies and gentlemen, sadly. So pick a side. Seven, the red spirit of war will also be involved behind the scenes. We know about the spirit of war. The dragon. The dragon is red. The red horse of Revelation, that represents war and evil. It's going to be fueled by Satan. Eight, the New World Order desires to cull the population and get rid of those who refuse them. And then nine, the mighty spell of deception and delusion is underway to hypnotize the message and keep them occupied. Doug, we just talked about it with the American Sniper movie. That is a huge hypnotizing propaganda thing. And 10, the Illuminati is close, very close to the next stages of this plan. So all of this took place, ladies and gentlemen. To begin, Doug, I'm going to share this, and then we can take a break. But during the break, if you have a chance, you can watch the video. Doug, it started out with the national anthem. Did you see the flag that they presented? Now, a few months ago, we talked about the signs in the American flag, and over, we see the flag tearing, or catching on fire, or falling, or it's just an ominous sign that's obvious that God's judgment and God's protection has abandoned America. In the Super Bowl, they began the national anthem with the unfurling of the flag, and I have a YouTube on my notes page where Idina Menzel sang. Doug, did you see it? The flag was in pieces. They unfurled the white part and the white back and forth all the way up, and then the blue part. The flag was all in pieces. That spoke volumes, ladies and gentlemen. It revealed that America is in pieces, and that's going to be the goal when this thing gets going. America's going to be broken apart and in pieces. And with that, I'll stop there. I have a video. You can watch it. But, Doug, it spoke volumes.
Wow. America going to be in pieces. Not the message you want to hear. As Americans, seeing all the things that we're seeing, watching the events across the Middle East, the wars, the famines, the disruptions unfold, the economic austerity measures in Greece, the central banking issues in Europe, and the economic woes and signs, indicators we have here in America. And what you're saying, Nathan, is backing up you know, the possibilities of what we will be facing here in the near future. With that, we're going to take our break. Nathan Leal is our guest. Watchmanscry.com is his website. Bookmark that for some great audio teachings or sermons. Also, insight through the write-ups he does, the forum he has, which is interactive for listeners of this show to go there to sign up. It's free for everyone. And get with like-minded people and talk about issues on Nathan's forum. And if not, just listen to some of his inspirational messages. We'll be right back for these short messages. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour on this Thursday, February 5th, 2015. Our guest tonight, Nathan Leal, in his part one installment of the Super Bowl halftime show and the overall Super Bowl breakdown, from the hidden occultic messages to the overt satanic ideas and propaganda that's being pushed through the TV waves, the radio airwaves, and has engulfed our popular society and the secular world. Embracing it with open arms, not realizing exactly what it is they are embracing. Those on the evil side know exactly what time it is due to many of these rituals that are performed in the public sphere and project messages to other elitists so they understand, you know, what's going on, where we're at. With that, Nathan, in our third hour, I'm going to turn it back to you, and go ahead.
Thank you, Joe. that was good that you said our first installment, because there's so much, isn't there?
Yeah. Never a short.
Anyway, moving forward, I have 1 hour to present as much as I can. I know the listeners are waiting, anticipating what we have to talk about. In the break, or did you have a chance to see the flag unfurling in pieces?
In pieces.
Doug and Joe, that's not a coincidence. That for those that have the eye, I see it went right over there, went right past them. Or I'm sorry, those that didn't, do not, that are blind, went right past them. But for those that are awake, it screams. And the message reveals what's coming and what America already is, fractured and broken. And we could do a whole program on how America is no longer united. You divide and conquer, and Obama's doing a great job, isn't he?
Yeah,
I think more than people expected.
Indeed. Now, let's start off by talking about Miss Satanic Priestess Katy Perry. I believe you even have this on file. I didn't ask you in advance, Joe. Do you have that, where she admits she sold her soul? But Katy Perry, if you do, you can play it if not, then we'll just talk about it. I do have the clip on the notes, though, in a YouTube. So if someone wants to watch it, she says it in a YouTube. But she was raised by Christian parents, and if you've had a chance to research her, she wanted to be the Amy Grant of Christian music, and she says, however, it didn't work out, so I sold my soul to the devil. That's quote-unquote from her. She says that twice in two different interviews. And, you know, if it was just said in jest, if she was just kidding once, that would be one thing, but we have her on record saying it twice and even how many other times. So she did pay the price. She made the decision that that's what she wanted to do because she wanted fame and fortune. So do you have that, Joe?
It's uploading right now. It should be ready in just a few short seconds.
Talk amongst yourselves in the meantime.
Well, after she did a Super Bowl program, Steve Carell emailed me a link to a story, and I placed the photograph in there. And she said that, I thought it would be appropriate to draw blood tonight. After she did her show, she went to a tattoo parlor and got a tattoo. But I found it interesting, Doug and Joe, that that's what she called it, drawing blood. So, she apparently knows what it is. She knows the truth about it.
Yeah, bloodletting.
That's another show, Doug. We talked about that a few months ago, and boy, did I get some emails from people that didn't like what I said. But a few days ago, I believe it was the UK, Mail UK, a secular reporter said that someone leave the gates of hell open and let all these creatures in, because they had images from a tattoo show in South America, I believe in Venezuela, where it's gone off the charts. It's off the radar what people are doing to themselves, destroying their bodies.
Yes.
Horns and fangs and vampire eyes and teeth.
Yep.
And
it's crazy. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And while we have it now uploaded, let's go to that clip of Katy Perry admitting proudly what it is she did to become famous and get all this notoriety.
I think you are an amazing singer. That's my mom. What sort of advice would you give an aspiring singer or actor? You know, Hollywood can be a really hard town to try to break into. And what sort of advice would you give someone before they embark on this incredible journey? Thank you, and I hope you answer my questions.
When I was 15,
because I grew up in a household where all I ever did was listen to gospel music, and I kind of said I was traveling ministers, and so I kind of sang about what was going on in my life at 15, and that's how I got introduced to the music industry. But I swear I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music, but it didn't work out, and so I sold my soul to the devil.
Well, there you go, and I'm sure many of your listeners have already heard this, Doug and Joe, and heard this several times, but she says it openly, and I feel sorry for her because you can tell she's tormented. It appears that she's on autopilot because she sold her soul. Her conscience has been seared, and she's just under the momentum of fame and fortune and the powers of darkness. And she got a tattoo to commemorate what she did, which in the natural, on the surface, people would say, well, come on, Nathan, isn't that cool what she did? And she can just show it at a barbecue. Hey, check out what I did right here. But aside from that, though, the way she said it, I thought it would be appropriate to draw blood. So, according to her, blood sacrifice is required to maintain the arrangement that she has with Satan, or she believes that it's necessary, and that's what's so sad. So, Joe and Doug, I just want to throw this out. Side note, homework for those of you that can remember from time to time when you can. Say a prayer for her to come back to God, because she knows better. And by the way, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but Missy Elliott, who also sang later on, the rapper, she also grew up in the church. So they know better. But right now, they are tools for Satan, and whether or not they ever come back, I don't know. But until she does come back, she's a high priestess of Satan. And in her mind, she really believes that she is at a high, very high level that must be acknowledged, and she wants to parade where she is in the eyes of the satanic underworld. She wants to parade that she has achieved that level. She's very competitive. She hates Taylor Swift, and she doesn't want Lady Gaga or Beyonce to be above her as far as being known as the ISIS queen. So that's why she did this. Now, for the person that would say, Nathan, she created this beast creature, this animatronic lion or tiger or whatever it is, just for fun because it matched the words to her song. That's all it was, Nathan. Well, that's the surface image, ladies and gentlemen. But as I stated earlier, we need to go below the surface and see what's going on, because her handlers, she does have handlers, are very precise in what they want to be shown. And the producers and directors, we already stated, Mr. Kirshner and Hamish Hamilton, are already involved with the New World Order Illuminati message of propaganda. So she's just another one of their pawns. So when the show started, we saw her riding on top of this giant golden lion, tiger, liger creature. And to most people that saw it, right off the bat, if you're a Christian, and to the Awake Ones listeners of the program, many of you listeners, you saw it right off the bat. Hey, there she is, the great whore of Revelation, the harlot, riding on the beast. Wow. And then we saw her sing the song, and then we saw the chessboard appear, and she danced with these chess pieces. And then, as we were trying to decode it, I was taking notes, and then she threw me off with the third song, which was on the Fantasy Island scene. Remember that, Doug? When I saw it, I thought of Yo Gabba Gabba, the children's TV show with the puppets and for kids, because that's kind of what it looked like. It looked innocent. But as I continued to watch it, and I saw all the happiness and the singing trees, I could not understand the words, because I don't know what her songs are. I had to go back and download and look at the lyrics of each one of these songs. And this is the deal, Doug and Doug. In order to be able to decode this entire thing, it is very necessary to know what she's saying as the imagery is happening. That's very important. If you mute the volume, it some of the show just seems benign, harmless. And how interesting is it that in the blogs, after the Super Bowl, since between Sunday night and now, many people all over the internet, all over the world, have stated, hey, it was just an innocent show by Katy Perry, no big deal. My wife has seen conversations on Facebook where there are actual Christians that are justifying her and saying she's harmless. What was the big deal? It wasn't as bad as last year. At least it didn't give us what we saw last year. And a lot of people are saying that. And the reason that they're saying that is because of the Fantasy Island sequence that threw everybody off. So when I saw that sequence, I was thrown off. And I was wondering to myself, well, what in the world? In order to be able to figure this thing out, I'm going to have to go back and watch it again. So, ladies and gentlemen, if some of you found yourself also wondering what happened, and I do know some people personally that told me that they spoke to friends, relatives, and said, be careful about watching it because it's gonna have bad stuff in it. And then when they showed the Fantasy Island sequence, family members who were not awake might have said, are you crazy? Or there you go again. Or yeah, this reinforces that they're tin hat wearing conspiracy theorists. You lost your credibility with me. And that was on purpose, by the way, because a lot of people were talking about in advance that it was going to be something very dark. And then we saw this. So now let's talk about what was really there, because the Fantasy Island sequence was actually a part, a very important part of the Illuminati scheme. And it had a very powerful, important message that disclosed how they're going to play everybody. Now, to begin, if you're looking at the notes, Doug,
yeah,
I have
Nathan,
a picture.
Nathan, let me stop you for a second here, because I want to understand this. The fantasy, because this is what you said, the Fantasy Island sequence was an extremely important part of this. Did I interrupt you in starting to explain that, or did I miss that? In what context was that important, aside from the distraction angle? I mean, there's something else there, right?
that, yeah, there's a lot there, and I'm going to try to go through it chronologically, so if we have time to get to it,
okay,
I'll cover it. Otherwise, there will be another show. Okay, so to begin, we saw, by the way, on the surface, Pepsi sponsors the Super Bowl, and are you ready, folks, for the Pepsi Halftime Show? We see that, and before the show started, now last year they did the landmark 3D hand going all over New York and the giant hand, remember that?
Oh, yeah.
This year, they turned the stadium into a spaceship, the UFO alien disclosure, and then the halftime show started, and it began with the Pepsi logo on the field. Now, this Pepsi logo was made up of these balls, or according to the people who took part, by the way, there was a local college, a marching band. The college asked for volunteers, and they volunteered because it would be fun for them. They were not paid. They showed up. It was a bunch of young kids, and they to them, were having fun. So I read some of the testimony from the people who participated, and they called these light-up balls orbs. That's what they called them. So I'm using that term because that's what they called them.
All right.
These orbs were programmed by a computer to make images, just like we saw at PixMob last year, the light-up hats in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Okay, these orbs can form whatever you wanted, but they formed at the beginning the Pepsi logo. Now, because of the research I did last year on Pepsi, the Pepsi logo, it represents the Pepsi globe. They want to be worldwide. I have a clip of the CEO of Pepsi saying that they want every citizen, all 7 billion citizens, to drink their product. Pepsi is a global unit to them. So the Pepsi logo represents the Earth. Very important, ladies and gentlemen. And I have the rough draft of the company that made the logo, and they submitted about 50 different ideas. One of the ideas was to put a face on this logo, the red, white, and blue logo, to make it like a living world. Last year, when they met at MetLife Stadium, the Super Bowl, there was a giant Pepsi creature with arms and legs, and it was alive. It showed that it was a face. So the Pepsi logo is the world. That's number one. That we need to establish that. In order for the rest of what I'm going to present to be understood, we have to see at the very beginning, it represents the Earth. It's a map of the Earth. Okay. When we watched Katy Perry enter, now, if you have the image in front of you, Doug, do you see the animation?
I do.
Okay, and ladies and gentlemen, if you can see this animation, it would really help because it happened so fast. But this animation spoke volumes. It's like the prepare message that went by so fast last year, but I did a whole show, 3 hours on just 10 seconds. Same thing here. When we look at the Pepsi globe, at first it's red, white, and blue, but then it started changing color. And if you're looking at the animation, make note, Doug, at where the colors start changing. It starts changing on the left portion, left-hand side, the western portion of the globe, and the northern portion of the globe. In other words, it's occurring where the United States is. The West. And then there's a color change, and then the globe turns orange, and then it splits down the middle, and the two sides separate. And then she walks between the two sides. Now, that, what happened right there was, it spoke volumes, ladies and gentlemen. Those changes of color at the very beginning are explosions happening over the United States of America. Doug, do you remember that Matthew Broderick movie, War Games, where he was inside of a Cheyenne Mountain, NORAD, mm-hmm. and on the map it was showing the different explosions, how the map would get, the circles would grow.
Oh, yeah.
For the nukes,
yep.
Going off. That's what's happening right here in this image. But it happened so fast, and most people didn't get it. The nukes are going off over America, and then it turns orange, the globe turns orange, meaning the world is set on fire with war, and then we see waves of darkness spread on each side of the two halves, the east and the west. Waves of darkness go over each side. It spreads apart, and then we have an opening where the lion walks through, the beast creature. The opening is in the sea, the Atlantic Ocean. Revelation 13 tells us, I saw the beast rise from the sea. I mean, seven heads, 10 horns, the red dragon gave it its authority, had the mouth, face of a lion. Okay, this beast has the face of a lion. It's right there in front of us, ladies and gentlemen. It's the beast creature, and yes, for those of you that saw the harlot walking, it was more than that. It was showing the war before she enters the scene, before the harlot enters the world, which is the new world order beast that's coming, we're going to have the world explode and be split into two sides. Now, when the images were shown of this occurring, I went very, very slow on my television, and I did a freeze frame capture. If you have the video of the beast entering the split, the sea between the two halves, the orbs stand up and then they go down, they bow down. And I have an image right here showing them bowing down as she enters. Do you see that, Doug, in the second photograph?
I do, yep.
Okay, the world on both sides is going to bow down to the beast while this is going on. Now, what is the beast? The beast consists of seven heads, 10 horns, 10 horns, 10 regions, economic unions, the EU, the Euro-Asia Union that was just formed January 1st. Last month by Mr. Right. Putin, Africa Union, South America, and the North America, all that's still coming. That was a conspiracy theory, and Fox News made fun of it, O'Reilly made fun of it. That is going to be the result of what's coming. The world's going to have its fractured regions, and when that happens, each region is going to be patriotic for their part. So they may tell themselves, I'm not bowing down necessarily for the whole thing. I'm just bowing down, and I respect my part because I love North America. So Americans will be motivated and devoted to their area, but by design, by default, they're still worshiping the beast because the Bible tells us the whole world will worship. So how do you get that to happen? Again, ladies and gentlemen, Doug, I mentioned it in the previous hours. Patriotism is going to cause people to worship the beast. That's the main power. That is the most Is there anything stronger than that, religion and patriotism? Because patriotism is tied to both religion and politics. It's very powerful. It's emotional. It goes back generations. It's in the blood. It flows through the veins of people. So, ladies and gentlemen, be very careful how you process your patriotism from this point on. Very important, Doug. Now, moving forward. As the beast creature started to walk between the two sides, the left side, the western side, made an aisle. It split. It made an aisle about 10 feet. And the reason it did that was so that the cameraman could walk between it to film her. And if you look at the next photograph, it says green orbs. You can see the split, and you can see the cameraman walking there. Now, on the surface, that's what people would say. Well, it split, so the cameraman could walk between it. That's true, but the cameraman could have walked in front of her. Doug, another thing very telling here. Now, the image under it, you can see the split, and you can see the west is split. You see that?
Yes.
Okay. The orange portion, after the world is ignited, the area of the United States is going to have, let me say it, folks, false flag nukes are going to happen in the United States. It's coming. They're showing it here. We see the green orbs. You see that, Doug?
And
I was talking to you about that. I don't know why it stayed green, and also on the other side it stayed green, which would be Europe, but is the green a Muslim cell? Is it a suitcase? Is it the Muslim jihadist? What is it? I don't know, but it's green. And when we look at the Bible, we see the pale horse, Koros, green, war. And several years ago, we had that weird, creepy sign of that horse that we saw take off from the bridge, and a lot of people wrestled with that one, whether it was a biblical sign or it was a lens flare. Whatever that was, it was still a sign of the war horse, and that's what I concluded with it. It was a sign. Here we have the green thing again. The jihadists, the Muslim cells, they're already here. It's in the area. If we were to try to figure out what part of the U.S. that is, where is that, Doug? I don't know. And here's the next question. That split that's going on, is that the New Madrid split? Is that the Mississippi splitting? Is that showing us that the West is going to suffer a split? Yes, it is. I had the dream, and we talked about this over the course of several programs. The Republican Party is going to be split. I saw them running on a highway, and they made a dash for the exit. There were elephants with red blankets on their back in the right lane of this freeway, had a big hole in the middle of it, and I watched these elephants running. The Republican Party is going to be split, and that's why I sent out that alert after the election recently. The Republican election is not going to save us, and we already see them sitting on their hands. Oh, boy, are they, right, Doug? So the West, the Republicans aren't going to save us. The West is going to suffer more splitting from a variety of things, racial tension, racial warfare, political tension, political division, brother against brother, ethnos against ethnos, as Matthew 24 tells us, which is races against each other. The division is going to continue, but why did they show it here on this program? Well, it goes all the way to the top. The Illuminati, the New World Order, the elite, they need for the United States to have chaos and division and war in order for their plan to work. America needs to suffer with civil war, just like we see in the Ukraine. What we see in the Ukraine, the Southern Donbass Freedom Fighter that I talked about in the last hour, he stated on YouTube, this chaos is going to go to the north of the Ukraine, then it's going to spread to Europe, and it's coming to America. Ladies and gentlemen, what we see happening in the Ukraine with burned-out shells of airports is coming to America. Doug, we did a very viral show just a few weeks ago with Steve Quayle on
yes.
the Bear.
Yes.
That's not asleep. That hasn't gone away. It's still, all the wheels are in motion, ladies and gentlemen. So this is another layer of confirmation of what's going on. So,
Nathan, I just want to go, and ladies and gentlemen, I just want to get in my pajamas and crawl into bed in the fetal position. You know, I don't, seriously, when you're talking about this, it's very disturbing, Nathan, and very good observations, I must say. But I just want to also reaffirm what you're saying. On Monday, we had the premiere of our university of conspiracy fact and history. And just to compliment what you're saying here, when you're talking about Illuminati and occult rituals, secret societies, what have you, there are four laws, that need to be addressed. One, the very first one, it's very simple. It's not what we believe it's that matters. It's what they believe. It's what the Illuminists believe. And I just want to just reaffirm that first law, because you know, you might be looking at this or hearing this and saying, "Oh, come on, no, folks." It's what they believe that's important. They don't care what we believe. It's what they believe. Nathan, I'm sorry. Go ahead and continue.
And since they believe it, Doug, as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, I understand that, as I mentioned in our one, cognitive dissonance makes it difficult to accept this and swallow this. Who, just like you said, crawl up in bed with a blanket and suck our thumb, Doug. It's too disturbing, but when we look at the Bible, Revelation 13 says, authority was given to the beast by the dragon, by Satan. So, since authority is going to be given to them, that means they're going to have a carte blanche, temporary freedom to enact their plan and make their script come true. So that, since that's the case, their script is what they believe. And it's not just that we're outside observers seeing what they believe. What they believe is what they're going to make happen, because we already see it happening. It's taking place already. So that's what's very important to also acknowledge, Doug, that it's not just a benign thing of observation. This isn't just a scholastic observation of how they think. When we start looking around the world, what they believe is what Mr. Zbigniew Brzezinski has mapped out for them, that the Ukraine has to be set on fire. He's been talking about this since 1991 in his book, which we're about to get to in a moment. But their belief is their plan. It's their prophecy, and it's going to happen because it's happening there, and it's also going to happen here. And that's the thing that it's very important to acknowledge. If it's going to happen here, then the next question is, are we ready for it? Because will we ever be ready for it? No, but at least we can try to start processing the mental change that's going to be required to acknowledge this. So let's move on. Their plan is going to involve the New World Order. Their plan says and states that the beast rises from the sea, because the Bible tells us that, and the Bible tells us that for a short season, Satan is going to be mad because he knows his time is short. God's going to allow it to happen to rid the world of his enemies. That's why God's going to allow it. Now, since the world's going to be rid of the enemies, then we have those four horses that are going to be released, and one of them is red. Red means war. As we are looking at these images, we see the world split in half with red. And if you were able to slow down the video, I downloaded it so I can put it in slow motion, it turned red, and you saw the beast going right through the middle, and the waves of darkness continued going back and forth across both sides. Very, very important to understand this, Doug and Joe. What that means is darkness represents Satan, the demons, the creepy crawlers, the open doorways and gateways where they're going to come out from the underworld, come out of the ground, come from pandemonium. They showed us this in the Olympic ceremony. We've talked about this a lot, but even though it's disturbing, even though we don't want to address it, the Bible tells us darkness will come. The light shines for light is coming because darkness will be on the earth. Jesus said the 10 virgins need to have their lamps full of oil because it's going to be dark at midnight. The cry will make. Jesus is coming back, but it's going to be nighttime. The darkness isn't just dark. The darkness represents demonic activity, which now let's place it into the physical realm. Horrible, bizarre crimes, horrible, bizarre murder, horrible, bizarre activity by jihadists who set people on fire in a cage as non-human, animalistic butchery. I mean, Doug, these people aren't human because they're possessed by this darkness, these demons. They are possessed. That thing's been released on the earth. We're watching it. The beheadings, and then we come here to America, to our shores, and we see bizarre crimes that are taking place. It's going to increase. The beheadings are going to happen here locally. The jihadists are going to arrive here. We're going to see buses explode. We're going to see suitcases go off. We're going to see in public places people shopping, minding their own business, buying food. We're going to see the kinds of stories that happen in the Middle East every day. It's going to happen here because evil is going to be allowed to come. The darkness is going to be released. Were you going to say something, Doug?
No, I was clearing my throat, but I'll just add that this renegade in chief is allowing is actively importing the unvetted very people that will perhaps, at least in my view, be responsible for the implementation of such terror here domestically. Demographically, it's got to happen. You cannot import or allow these illegal aliens to come in here and even allow the indoctrination of the people that are here who are prone to such activity, allow the seditious speech to motivate and rally them to a cause. So it's even in a practical sense, but even more so spiritually, it will happen. You're absolutely correct.
So in their little display that went by so fast, she was singing her song, Roar, and as she ended the song, she roared, and I noticed an image, and I have it right here. I have a screen capture now. If you're watching it on your TV and your DVR, you can see it a lot better. In the snapshot that I have, you can't really see it as well, but do you see the image where it says Grande Rojo, or it's in Spanish Rojo, which means red? That means big red, and we continue seeing the theme of the war, the red dragon, the red war, the red eyes. By the way, she's on fire, again,
right,
representing what the beast is bringing. The beast is bringing fire. On the surface, she's just showing us she's a woman on fire. Hear me roar. I'm just special to you guys. I'm having my moment. Under that layer, the beast is bringing fire to the world. When we look at Revelation 13, and I talked to you about this on the phone off the air, Doug, I believe last week or a few weeks ago, there's a popular theory about Revelation 13 where it says when the beast rises up, it consists of 7 heads, 10 horns.
Right.
And one of the heads had a mortal head wound and from the sword, but it was healed and it wore marbled. Well, traditionally in the past, people have said, well, that's the Antichrist. He's going to get shot and he'll come back to life. That's the old school. But now, if we are willing to reevaluate and take off the tradition of man and examine it to what we see happening now in front of our eyes, we can see that the New World Order is going to be 10 parts occupying 7 continents. So the 7 heads are the 7 continents, just like the Statue of Liberty has the 7 points on her crown, the sea, 7 oceans, 7 continents. 7 heads is the 7 continents of the world. 10 horns are the 10 regions. If we look at it from that standpoint, and by the way, I have a lot of notes in the future. I'm going to be presenting this. I can see already, some of you already are typing frantically saying, Nathan, you're wrong. It's the Catholic Church. Okay, just hold your emails. I've read all that. Save yourself the trouble, ladies and gentlemen. We need to be able to look at what's happening and be able to be open with intellectual integrity to see if possibly some things are going to happen maybe a little different than what we thought. Yes, Jesus is coming. Yes, the beast is coming. Mark of the beast, all that. But some of the individual particulars and details are going to, Doug, because it happened in the first advent. Didn't happen how everyone thought. They thought they had it figured out. Didn't play out that way. It's going to happen the same way this time. It's not going to play out the same way because everyone's expecting the wrong sign. So, let me present this. if the heads represent areas of the earth, and in Revelation 13 says one of the heads was wounded from the sword means war.
All right.
If one of the areas of the earth is wounded from war, and then after the beast arrives, the world's going to marvel because, hey, it woke up again, that area revived itself, then is it possible, let me just present it this way, ladies and gentlemen, is it possible that instead of it being the Antichrist getting shot in the head, is it possible that one of the areas of the earth is going to suffer a massive, massive, drastic, terrible nuclear detonation and destruction before the beast rises up? Meaning, is it possible the United States could suffer it, or Russia, or Europe? Nukes are going to go off, and people are going to say there's no way they could recover. But then, lo and behold, the new financial system comes, the new world order comes in, they enact their blue helmet policies worldwide, oppression and tyranny is enacted worldwide, and then the beast enters the scene, and then the wounded part of the world limps into the new world order. Meaning, if we look at the Pepsi logo, we saw explosions happening in the area where the United States is. Is it possible that that's the wounded area that's going to occur? Now, the Bible tells us three kings will fall, and the beast will subdue three areas. So three areas could be three of the unions. North American Union will be one of them, and then we have the EU will be another, and then where Australia is, basically the West, will be succumbed to what the BRICS are going to do to us, because God is judging. That's a side note, Doug. We could do a whole program, and we could do volumes with that.
Interesting.
Ladies and gentlemen, just think about it, okay? And please don't email me and try to school me. I've seen the other ways. I've been at this for 35 years, okay? So save your emails. In the end times, things are going to happen, and we're going to get to heaven, and we're going to say, I didn't see that coming. I fully believe that, Doug.
I say that now.
The kingdom of, I'm sorry?
I say that now. You know, I didn't see that coming. I mean, about things here on Earth. So, you know, it's and you're right, Nathan. We need to open up our minds to the extent that we need to be able to analyze. Do your own analysis and open your minds to accept alternative possibilities to the extent it's consistent with Scripture and, you know, exactly. So go ahead.
Well, here's the part we cannot escape, Doug. When Hal Lindy wrote Late Great Planet Earth way back in the 70s, and he presented the beast rises up, Antichrist shows up on the scene, I've read a lot of those books, and even today there's a lot of those books. Antichrist is coming, end time's coming, beast is coming. But the thing that is not addressed, and I haven't seen it addressed, is what I'm saying right here. The books do not address why the beast rises up. It doesn't address why the world sees fit to bring this crazy new way of government and of political thinking, of tyranny, of new finance. We're not told why. Well, the Illuminati is telling us why, and the watchmen of God are telling us why, and the glimpses and visions that many of God's people are having are telling us why. And the why is because he's judging the earth, and we're going to have a great battle before the new world order shows up. The phoenix rises from ashes, from burning. So before this creature that Katy Perry is riding shows up, war has to happen first. That's the next part of the plan, ladies and gentlemen. That's next. So we can't jump over war and a destroyed earth and a destroyed financial system and just have the beast show up. We have to have chaos first. Order out of chaos. That's their theme. So let's move now to the next part. She was finished with the song. She roared. And then we saw the eye on the field. It was obvious that it was an eye. And a lot of people said, hey, the Illuminati eye. And they saw her song. But it happened so fast, and the things that she did occurred so fast that it was difficult to break it down. When we saw the eye, it began as a dark eye. It wasn't illuminated. And then the lights came on, and it showed a chessboard. Now, right off the bat, Doug, in order to understand this chessboard, we have to understand the Masonic way of thinking, the Masonic lodges. We have to know how they think, their teachings, what goes on in their lodges, what the Illuminati believes with dualism, and what some of the writings are with the players that are involved right now. Zbigniew Brzezinski, 1991, the Grand Chessboard. The chessboard, in his eyes, which has become the script for what's happening now, involves East versus West. The chessboard, we have part of the chess pieces are East, the United States, NATO, and the other pieces are the West, Russia and Asia. We have to establish that first. Okay, so since we know who the players are, then let's look at their eye. Why were the checkerboard? Because we understand the theory of dualism, of white and black, yin and yang, God, Satan. You have the belief of opposites, and many of you know this. Listeners, you know this. A lot of you are experts in this. You've read about it. The Masonic Lodge has this, but basically here's what they believe. God and Satan are equal. You can't have God without having Satan. You can't have Satan without having God. Without white, black couldn't exist, and also likewise the other way around. So you need evil and good to operate and flow in a normal, organized manner. So that's the theory of dualism. That's why you have the Juno goddess, the face on each side. That's why even the agenda with the progressives, they say, well, gay versus straight, they're both good. There's no wrong and right. That's why they've thrown out morality. There's no wrong and right because you need both. So that's what that means. And we can do a whole show on that, but I got to move forward. When she entered the chessboard, you can go down to the third or the fourth image. The queen and the king bowed to her. And the king is out of focus, you can't see him, but they bowed to her as she entered, meaning she's the great harlot. So both sides, do you see the chess pieces, Doug?
I do.
And when I was on the phone, I asked you, I said, do you notice something about their outfits? Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, this escaped most people, but here it is right here. After I share this, the cracks, it's going to make so much sense. It says in the book of Daniel that the beast is going to break the earth into pieces. It's going to crush the earth. The foundations of the earth will be allowed to be broken for a temporary season. The cracks are forming in the East. The cracks are forming in the West, in the financial system, the political system. And that's been done purposely. It's done by design. They're engineering this thing. But both sides of the battle of Mr. Brzezinski's chessboard are unhealthy. And they need to be, because they need to be crushed into powder so that the new order can rise up. That's why they have cracks on them. By the way, that's why they're the same color. They're on both teams are working for the same puppet master.
Right on.
So the East and the West are under marionettes for both. Now, on a chess set, Doug and Joe, if you play chess, you have the, starting from the end, you have the rook, the knight, the bishop, king, queen, bishop, knight, rook. That's eight pieces, right? And then eight pawns. Most of you know this if you play chess.
Oh, yeah.
In this board that they presented, they have seven on each side. There's one. They had all the chess pieces for the back row, but there's several pawns missing. So they had two rows of seven on each side. Interesting, right? Okay,
interesting,
so when
dude.
Mm-hmm. Seven, seven, two sets of seven, so four sets of seven. That's Illuminati all over there. Those steps in the middle had six steps on each corner, four corners, six steps. And then when we look at Katy Perry entering, as you see in the second image of the chessboard, they walked to the top in the shape of a pyramid. So people were saying, I didn't see a pyramid. Yeah, they formed it. It was there. And by the way, the show ended with a pyramid that was not seen on camera. And after this program's over, I'm going to put up a lot of images, and I'll show that. The final scene of the show, ladies and gentlemen, all the lights that are surrounding, that you see right here that's purple, pointed up and formed a pyramid. It was very telling. And I'm going to that image didn't come from the NBC camera. It came from a person that was there that filmed with their camera phone, and they put it on YouTube, and I screen captured it. So I'm going to place that up there. The pyramid was there. It was many stories taller. It was a huge pyramid. Okay, but moving forward, the dancers, both sides are going to dance with the beast. So both sides approve of the beast. They bow down to it. And as Katy Perry sang her song, she sang the words to Dark Horse. Now, for those of you that know, Dark Horse is a very creepy, satanic, occultic song about Katy Perry claiming to be a goddess. And depending on which music video you watch, she's the queen, she's Isis, she's Aphrodite, she's an Egyptian queen. She, over and over, she's establishing and making known that she is placing herself up as this priestess. Well, in the song Dark Horse, there's a portion of the song where she's singing, she says, "Are you ready? Are you ready?" The song says that over and over. As she's singing the words, we see the image of her in the middle dancing and singing with some of the chess pieces. Now, when they entered the middle stage, half of the chess pieces left the stage. And the reason it happened, and here's when I said earlier, Doug, that they're preemptively going to get rid of those who oppose them, this is what reveals it. This is what proves it. If you look at the last image, it says capable of anything. Do you see that?
I do, yeah.
Okay. During
folks,
the Dark Horse song,
listeners, please refresh your browser. If you're, you've got to refresh because pictures have been added, images have been added. Go ahead.
Okay, I plan to. Now, as I stated earlier, if you know what she's saying as she's presenting it in the program, if you had a still shot and you started seeing those two things together, Doug, it speaks volumes. So what I plan to do is I'm going to grab some screen captures. This is going to take me a while. It might take another day or two, but listeners, please come back and keep checking because it's very important to share this information. When she was singing Dark Horse, I have them right here. I opened them up. She starts out, "You know what it is? Oh, okay. You know, I knew you were. You were going to come to me. And you're here." Now, she's saying this while all the chess pieces are worshiping her. But you better choose carefully because I'm capable of anything and everything. Make me your Aphrodite. Make me your one and only. But don't make me your enemy. And she says it three times, your enemy. So you want to play with magic? Boy, you should know what you're falling for. Baby, do you care to do this? Because I'm coming at you like a dark horse. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the perfect storm, perfect storm? Because once you're mine, and there's no going back. So that's what she's saying. It was hard to tell what she was singing because of all the distraction and the people cheering. But when she was singing the song, "I'm capable of anything," or "You better choose wisely," half of the chess pieces left the stage. So what that meant was some people will either make the choice to not follow her, or they will be disposed of. Because when she says, "I'm capable of anything," the floor bends, meaning I'll wash you down into the gutter, down into the abyss. I'll get rid of you. See how the floor slanted?
Mm. Yes.
It was creepy how it, and that was used by a new technology. It's been around for a few years, 3D projection mapping, and it's gaining popularity. Some of the hockey teams use it in their pregame shows or halftimes. And have you seen some of those? They've come a long ways. They can project. It takes a lot of projectors to do this, but it's a whole show in itself, and that's what she used to illustrate this. Now, as she continued singing, then the chessboard or the black and white tiles surrounding the middle stage started to break down and disappear, and they all ran to the middle because she said, "I'm capable of anything." So what that meant was, make me your Aphrodite because the perfect storm is coming. And when she said that, "I'm coming at you like a dark horse, are you ready for the perfect storm?" the entire outer part of the eyeball, excluding the middle part of the stage, turned into a giant whirlwind, tornado, and it spun around, and that's when the chess pieces left. So what that was communicating was our perfect storm is going to eliminate those who are against us. We're bringing the perfect storm, and not everyone's going to make it, because first of all, we'll flush you down, and if that doesn't work, then we're bringing the perfect storm, and that's going to flush you down. And only the people that are going to survive, the whirlwind is going to be outside of the eye. The eye of the Illuminati is the goal. The eye of the Illuminati is where the light of truth in their eyes happens, where the light of discernment, rebirth takes place in their eyes. The Masonic candidate learns illumination when he gains and he gets there through the correct knowledge, and he earns his stripes, so to speak. He earns the knowledge. Then he's accepted. But in order to do that, you have to do the oaths. You have to, you know, the blood oath and all that stuff, cutting your throat, and you're part of their team. You can never leave to the death. You're not part of us. You're in the middle of the eye. The eye of the storm is safety in this presentation she was showing, but it's also the illumination. As the show progressed, and I see that I'm not going to be able to finish, Doug, as the program progressed and it went into the Treasure Island scene, the Treasure Island scene took place also in the eye of the center. So it was a mirage. It was a fantasy that they were projecting to disarm the people and dissuade the people from being vigilant. It was to make the people think that all was okay. We also saw after that was played, Missy Elliott entered the scene, and when she entered, they projected behind her head what looked like a Stargate, a half circle that was glowing and blinking, kind of like the movie Stargate. You walk through the circle. Missy Elliott came through the circle. Her team of rappers came out of the circle, which was, again, a replay of what we saw last year with Bruno Mars. The Red Hot Chili Peppers came out of the ground. They were the demons. They represented the darkness. That's what Missy Elliott represented. The dark rappers came out, and I don't mean that by their skin color. I mean that by their content was foul, and if you look at the words of their songs, they're disgusting, they're vomit, they're garbage, and the individuals who use those songs to be their entertainment have their conscience seared, and they need to renew their mind. Ladies and gentlemen, it's darkness that's being paraded, whether it is through rap or through Katy Perry's innocent-sounding music. By the way, the words to her songs in the Treasure Island scene, California Girls and the other one, are also filled with sex and sexual symbolism, and that's one of the talking points of communism, right, Doug? You've talked about that. Throw in sex, throw in immorality, get them distracted with away from morality, break up other families. We know the list. That's how their Illuminati is functioning, and so the Treasure Island scene was telling us that when you're in the middle of our fantasy, all will seem well to you. You will be dancing in happiness, but in reality, you're dancing between sharks. Us. We are the sharks, and we'll bite you in half. So you're never free of us. You're never safe. And it looked cute with puppets. By the way, Doug, we could even go further. Eight palm trees. Eight palms. That goes into some of the Tao yin and yang belief.
That's right.
And we also have the surfboard. There was two surfboards, four beach balls, and we're all grown up, so can I say, Doug? I mean, right? It was phallic symbols. A surfboard with two beach balls and another surfboard with two beach balls. If you saw the lyrics, it matched. So, ladies and gentlemen, it wasn't innocence. It was the Illuminati's propaganda machine to show that we're in control and we let you think and see what we want you to see because you're our slave. And also, another key point, Doug, I'll say this real quick. After the chess pieces were finished with the song, they all fell to the ground around her, dead. Meaning when we're done with you, we'll throw you away. On the Treasure Island scene, when those dancing girls in the polka dot bikinis were finished dancing around Katy Perry, they fell to the ground dead. When Missy Elliott was finished with her song, the rappers fell to the ground dead. All groups, meaning you are cattle to us. You are fodder to us. We don't care about you, whether you're a patriotic military sniper, mean well, and you think you're doing well for your country, or you're someone from the inner city, and it doesn't matter who you are, all walks of life, red, yellow, black, and white, whatever your race is, you're fodder to us, and we're going to dispose of you when we're ready, because referring back to the Deagle depopulation website, Doug, down to 66 million, 270 million are going to be gone. That is coming, Doug, and I see the clock. If I have a chance, I may do a news from the wall that goes into this, but it does appear that we're going to have to continue this. So I'll stop with that, Doug. Ladies and gentlemen, keep checking, and I'll have more images over the next couple of days.
Nathan, as always, we want to thank you so much for your time, your incredible insight. The work you put into this is unmatched, unparalleled. I want to thank you so much, and there's so much to get into. I mean, do come back and continue with this. And, folks, watchmanscry.com. It's off of Hagman and Hagman.com. Nathan, as always, man, fantastic information. Thank you so very much, my friend.
Thanks for having me. It was a blessing.
All right, buddy.
I'm looking forward to part two of this 2015 Super Bowl
breakdown. We'll be in touch.
Breakdown.
I'm sure we will. All right, brother.
God bless you, and tell your wife we said hi. God bless her and family. And until next time, Nathan, tomorrow we'll be joined live by Ted Breuer, healthmasters.com.
Oh, it's going to be a great show tomorrow night, too.
Hello, Ted. He'll be here with us from 8 o'clock for the whole show. So have a great night. Until tomorrow.
God bless.